No, it's not the kitten coat. It's the food. Now, we're up against the clock, Mike. We're going to close out this first hour of Animal World. We'll start up the next hour. It's only not going to take more than a couple minutes or so. And we will pick up, Maureen, more on this diet issue for the older cats. And we'll get into a little bit more, Dr. Mike, if you don't mind, on maybe some of the processed kind of foods and maybe if there's anything that you would recommend for older cats or not or whatever. And phone lines are open. We have more copies of Ann Martin's book, Food Pets Die For. You can call us with your animal medical care questions at 425-373-5527 or 888-298-5569. We're going to turn this hour around and then we'll be back with Dr. Mike Saluski. Oh, and by the way, if you want to check him out while we're turning the hour around, your website, Dr. Mike, I want to make sure I've got this, is www.hindsightcare.com. Is that correct?
That is correct.
So HINDSIGHT, hindsightcare.com. All right. Animal World continues straight ahead right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
The preceding hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World was brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.
Been there, done that? It's time for a change.
Hi, I'm Rob Spears.
And I'm Brenda Michaels, and we're the hosts of Conscious Talk, radio that makes a difference.
If you're ready to engage life, expand consciousness, and ride the wave rather than be bowled over by the incredible changes that are upon us, then join us Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. on KKNW 1150 a.m. or 98.9 HD3 or ConsciousTalk.net, where together we'll forge the new human being.
This is Alternative Talk 1150 a.m. KKNW Seattle and KWJZ 98.9 FM, Digital HD3 Seattle.
Do you know how, for so many people, there is so much information out there today, they don't know where to start when they want to find something that's interesting to them? What Pam and I have done is we've created a unique radio show specifically targeted to women and the men who love them, designed to focus on helping them to learn, grow, change their lives, and have some fun.
Join Rochelle and I every Tuesday through Friday from 8 to 9 a.m. right here on KKNW 1150 a.m. or chatwithwomen.com. You'll be glad you did.
When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts robbing his old sweet song. Oh, wake up, you sleepyhead, get up. Get up, get out of bed, cheer up, the sun is red, live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I've been blue, now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin starts bob, bob, bobbing along.
The following hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World is brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.
Hey, good morning, y'all. I'm Martha Norwalk, and welcome you to the second hour of this week's edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the Internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got Internet access. And the best way to pick up the stream is go to the Animal World website. That would be www.marthanorwalk.com. Click on the Listen Live icon in the upper right-hand corner of the home page. That will click you through to the 1150 KKNW website. Click on Listen Live again, and that will bring up the instructions that you need to stream the show. Now, you can be in touch with us while we're on the air in several different ways. Phone lines are open right now, and we are entertaining your phone calls. It is Vet Sunday with Dr. Mike Saluski, and we'd love to hear from you with your animal medical care questions. We also have some copies of Ann Martin's book, Food Pets Die For, in the Animal World Prize Closet. We'd love to give a copy away to you right now. So if you would like to win a copy, or if you've got an animal medical care question, or need to get a hold of us during the show, phone numbers, local numbers, 425-373-5527. That's 425-373-5527. Toll free is 888-298-5569. Remember the one, 888-298-5569. And you can also send us an email to animalworldlive@hotmail.com. Now, you can be in touch with us anytime by going to the Animal World website, www.marthanorwalk.com. Links to all of our advertisers and sponsors on the homepage, link to the audio archives. You can listen to past shows. So if you hear some, brilliance from and wisdom from Dr. Mike today, which we always have when he's here, you can listen again later if you like. And that's clicking on the audio archive link on the homepage of MarthaNorwalk.com. Click on current events for current event stuff, shelters for our, all our shelter stuff. And a lot of great stuff for you there as well. Now, you can send an email to me by clicking on the Contact Martha link, or address your own email program to Martha Light, L-I-G-H-T, at AOL.com. But keep in mind, if you need my help as an animal behavior therapist and trainer, I do not work via email. I'm happy to hear from you that way. But I need to speak with you over the phone to determine if I'm the best one to help you and get things set up. But send me an email, and then remember, the best way to get a hold of me is bug my voicemail. And by the way, it's always a good idea to call me, because I always do a free, no obligation phone evaluation. So if I'm not the best one to help you, I probably know who is, and I'll refer you on. Otherwise, I'll be happy to take care of you. And that's Martha's Canine, Feline, and All Creature Counseling. Bug my voicemail, 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258. And if you are submitting a current events item, please do so via email. That's easier for me to get to the webmaster that way. And if you need to post something through the U.S. Postal Service to Animal World, our official mailing address is 19916 Old Owen Road, 19916 Old Owen Road, Monroe, Washington, 98272. Now, I also write a regular column for the New Spirit Journal. Been writing about raising kittens, and this month the papers just came out hot off the presses. I brought them into the station today, so you should be able to pick them up at all the free outlets around the area. You can also read the paper online at www.newspiritjournal.com. And this month, my whole column's about disciplining cats. Yes, they sometimes need discipline, but there are ways to go about it and ways not. So hopefully you'll pick up a copy of the New Spirit Journal. Check out that article. Okay. Oh, I want to let you know, we had a winner last hour, Ann Martin's Food Pets Die For. And that would be Maureen, who called in with the food question. So, Maureen, that's great you're getting the book, because Mike has recommended the best diet for older cats would be home cooking. And that's what Ann Martin specializes in. So a lot of really good recipes in her book. So that should help you out a lot. Now, also, I want to welcome back, make sure he's still with us, Dr. Mike Saluski from Hindsight.
Hi, still here.
All right. Now, do you call your practice Hindsight Veterinary Care or just Hindsight Care?
Usually we just call it Hindsight.
Hindsight. Okay.
Yeah.
So, see, I told you the last time you were on the air, see, we now expect you to have 20/20 vision all the time. I want to make sure everybody has contact information for you at this point that needs it. And your website, www.hindsightcare.com. And now let's talk about how you work. Have you got a local practice set up down there in Oregon now?
Yes, I sure do. I've got I actually have a home office that I see, probably the majority of the small animals, the dogs and the cats, just come to me.
Oh, okay. So you have an office at your home. And clients bring their small animals to you.
That's right.
That's cool.
And down the road, because we're kind of out in the country here a little bit, I may think about getting some office space a little then I do ambulatory calls too. I've done house calls for dogs that are unable to get around real well, and of course for the horses.
Okay, so still doing house calls for horses or barn calls for horses and house calls for dogs that can't be easily transported. That's great. And do you work over the phone? Do you do telephone consultations?
I have done some telephone consultations. It is difficult for the type of work that I do to really get things super accurate. As far as like herbal medicines, and obviously a lot of what I do treatment-wise are physical treatments with acupuncture and chiropractic, and that, of course, is possible over the phone.
Right.
Sometimes it's certainly getting people some direction or some help, maybe until they could get to see me, that type of thing. No problem.
All right. So, again, the website for Dr. Mike is hindsightcare.com. Is there a phone number where people can reach you down there if they'd like to schedule an appointment with you?
Yeah, absolutely. That number is 503-508-5738.
Okay. Now, don't call now because he's talking to us, okay? But after the show, if you want to schedule an appointment or a consultation, you can call Dr. Mike at 503-508-5738. That's 503-508-5738. Now, we also mentioned earlier in the show that every other Monday you come back home, so to speak, to Washington. And you are at Sumner Vet Hospital.
That's correct.
Now, if someone wants to see you there, do they call you to make the appointment, or do they call Sumner Vet?
So they call Sumner, and their phone number is
253-863-2258. 2258. So if you'd like to see Dr. Mike at Sumner Vet Hospital every other Monday, the number to schedule is 253-863-2258. That's 253-863-2258.
Yeah.
All right. I think we covered those bases. That's excellent. All right. So let's see. Before I get to... that's what I was going to... never mind. I did that. So I'll put that over here. I already told you who won the book last time. All right. Now, I don't want to forget where we were, because we were talking older cats and proper diet.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, another thing I wanted to ask, because this was brought to my attention again. I had sort of forgotten about it, but it came crashing back into my field when I did a private consultation with a gal this week. I was actually working with her and her golden retrievers, but she told me a very disturbing story about one of her cats, Dr. Mike. And she said this cat all of a sudden was not eating, was vomiting, a lot of problems, into a very good, well-respected, holistic veterinary practice in our area. They were right on it, did x-rays and, treatment, all this sort of stuff. Well, eventually they determined that the cat, they thought, had a foreign body blockage in the intestine.
Sure.
And so they did surgery. Well, they found out when they opened the cat up, the cat didn't have a foreign body blockage. The cat was just constipated. And they got nothing out of the intestinal tract but, stuff that would normally be in there. But the vets were quite amazed at the fact that the majority of what was in the intestinal tract and the blockage was hair. Well, then my client, now is a whole lot more awful stuff to this story, and what ended up, this cat it is very, very lucky to be alive after all of this. But kind of the long and the short of it, my client was quoting some information out of the homeopathic book by Dr. Don Hamilton. I remember having him on Animal World back in Como days when that book first came out. But he was writing about the grain-free dry foods that we're feeding our cats. And he was saying that there's not enough fiber in those diets, and one of the side effects is constipation and clogging up with hair. Now, my client found it very interesting that information was in his book, and the veterinarian, who's the one that ended up doing surgery and was so amazed that the intestinal tract was just blocked up with hair and all of that, had recommended this book to the owner of the cat. And what I want to know is have you found this to be the case? And is this something that because I don't remember us talking about this much at all on these grain-free diets, because there's grain-free diets all over the place now for cats and dogs. Do you think this kind of constipation because of lack of fiber and stuff is a real issue?
Yeah, I have not run across it. I mean, you think about in the wild, the felines are going to be getting plenty of, fiber in the form of probably hair, in their prey a lot of times, or feathers or whatever, a lot of undigestible type fiber. I think probably the bigger issue might be the lack of moisture. The food. Certainly, you're going to run into issues with mobility in the large intestine, and fiber can certainly help that. But I think moisture is another key component that we talked about that earlier on, the fact that felines tend to get most of the moisture in their diet from their food. And if you're not getting a lot in the food, then you're probably going to wind up with some difficult and some dry and some constipated stool. I think in general, you can have with any kibble type food, you can have more problems with constipation in cats, even those with a decent fiber content. So I don't know if the grain-free product itself is the culprit, or if it's more of the processing that is going through.
Okay, and of course, it's really important to encourage your cats to drink as much water as possible.
Right, which is not really easy on the diet. Because that's just not what they're really.
Yeah, I have to say, for years and years, I've really catered to my cats in providing water, and none of them. Of course, my cats are very spoiled. Remember, dogs have masters, cats have staff, and since I have to practice what I preach, I'm very good staff to my cats, and they're very spoiled. But my cats have never wanted anything to do with an animal water dish. That's just, forget it. They're just beyond that. So I always gave them water in glasses on the counter. I always kept a fresh glass of water on my nightstand next to my bed, because I had one cat that's the only place he would drink. I would be going out of my way whenever I went into bathrooms to turn on faucets for them, because they wanted to lick the water coming out of the faucets. Until, sometimes I just don't get it. And so, so it takes me a while to tune in, but I think, it's been since I know Scotty, because he was with me when I bought it, but I finally, in the last, year, year and a half or something, I got a fountain, a water fountain for the cats, because I thought, they really like the fresh water and the free-flowing water and all of that.
Sure.
Maybe if I get them a fountain, that they'll drink consistently. Well, I got to tell you, Dr. Mike, it's the biggest hit on the planet. My cats love it, and they drink so much more water than they used to, and it's made a huge difference. I mean, the only thing you really have to pay attention to, of course, is changing the filters, in the fountain and so forth. But boy, I found that made a huge difference in them wanting to drink water.
No, that's a great idea. And I think that the other thing too, regardless of the type of food that you're on, because certainly for some people, kibble is going to know, be the, really the only way to go.
Yeah.
Because of just a time issue or a management issue.
And sometimes it's a cost issue these days, you know?
Well, oh, man.
Isn't it?
Food is getting crazy expensive. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so, you've got to sort of do what you can do and then, you know, I think monitor. So, for instance, if you are only going to be able to feed a kibble, obviously you're going to choose a grain-free over just sort of a commercial, you know, crappy food.
Okay.
You know, because that's just the better choice, regardless of the fiber content. And then what you need to do is to really monitor what that water consumption and what their stool is like. You're going to have some cats or dogs, for that matter, that maybe do get a little constipated on one diet versus another. Maybe it's not the fiber content. Maybe it's the fat content of the food needs to be a little bit higher. Maybe they're not drinking enough, and you need to supplement their diet with some additional wet food or something with a little bit more fiber. But you still want to stay with those basic premises, I think, of staying away from a high carbohydrate load and working on it that way. You know, a lot of times with even these grain-free products, if they have, like a diet formula, most of those, all they do is add fiber. So if you could find a grain-free diet formula, you're probably going to have that extra fiber there with still keeping the carbohydrates.
Oh, now that's a real... Okay, so now we're talking, recommending... Well, generally speaking, I say, feed the highest quality food that you can afford.
Yeah.
So basically, and that means staying out of the grocery store when you're buying pet food, unless you're buying real food to cook for them, and going to, a higher quality pet store. But if you're feeding, grain-free dry foods, and for Maureen, who's looking for, diets for older cats, assuming that maybe she has to do a processed food, a grain-free diet formula would automatically have more fiber in it.
Yeah.
That's a great idea. So let's remember that. Now, what about, sometimes these foods come in a senior form. Now, would a senior form have more fiber in it likely too, do you think?
A lot of times they do also because, senior animals are less active, and so they tend to be heavier, at least in this country, a lot of times because of all the, typical carbohydrate loads they get. So, yeah, a lot of times it's just, you look at the label and you can figure out, the fiber content should be higher in them.
Okay. And so in general, do you feed, if folks are feeding a processed food, are you in favor of feeding a senior diet when they get older, feeding a low-cal or diet formula if they're overweight?
No, I'm not a big fan of puppy diets, kitten diets, senior diet, all those. I'm a fan of you feed the animal appropriate to what species they are, and then you tailor that to the individual based on their needs. If you've got, just because you've got, say, a 14-year-old cat, if it's not fat, you don't need to, go to. If you're feeding it a good quality, home-cooked, raw or grain-free kibble and it's doing well, you don't need to change just because it needs that's the magical age number.
Okay.
Really go by what's going on with that particular animal and tailor your dietary needs. That, like I talked about before, where sometimes you as much of a fan of grain-free that I am, if you get into an animal that's debilitated later in life and is not able to keep weight on, well, I might add a whole bunch of white rice into a diet or oatmeal or something into a diet to try to get some calories, and then if that's what they are able to digest well. That's the way I look at it.
All right. Well, that's excellent. So let's see. Is it fair to say in overview that when we're talking your preference for diets for our dog and cat friends, that you'd your first choice would be a home-cooked and or raw food diet? So a fresh food diet, depending on age and needs of the animal.
Yeah.
Okay. And then behind that, you do the best you can do depending on what you can afford. So if you're feeding, you prefer canned foods over dry. That's because of the moisture content, correct? And if you got to do a dry kibble, you like the grain free. But we keep in mind that you might have to add some fiber of some kind, or do a diet formula or senior formula for more fiber.
Exactly. And you know, and just to sort of back up a step for the raw too. You know, I think that there's all sorts of considerations with raw food as far as contamination, that type of thing. Like, for instance, I've got young kids. I'm not going to be, I'm not fastidious enough to have a bunch of, raw food hanging around my house where I wouldn't worry about the possibility of cross contamination with my kids.
I see.
It's not a good option for my family. And that may be the case with somebody else. It's not just about cost or convenience. You also have to consider some of the health issues that can be involved, with using raw food as well, too. As much as I like it, it's also not for everybody, not just because of their animal, but maybe because of their family situation. If they've got an elderly parent living with them that might not have a great immune system, you're not going to want to have a whole lot of raw food products hanging around either. So.
Now I have to say, having been a fan of raw food for many, many years, I do feed all kinds of food to my animals, but I feed a majority of raw food. But I can say I totally understand what you're talking about, especially if one is making their own raw food diet. That means you're going out and you're getting the raw meat and doing either grinding it or whatever you're doing and then grinding or mulching the veggies and that sort of thing. That you can end up with raw food all over the kitchen.
That's right.
So if you're in a situation like Mike's talking about, seniors, kids, where you would like to avoid any cross-contamination with the raw foods, then you can go with the prepackaged raw food diets. We mentioned it earlier in the show. Both Darwin's and Natural Pet Pantry make a raw food diet for both dogs and cats, and they do home deliver. But you can also pick up these prepackaged raw diets at most quality pet stores. And what I found, Mike, because I personally, I use, for my cats, get the Natural Pet Pantry raw food, which is delivered to my home once a month, and when I moved I got a big freezer so I can house all that stuff, but I don't, raw food never comes in contact with my counters anywhere.
Sure.
Because they've perfected their packaging so well, it's real easy to get out. They provide a container for it. It goes right from the container, into the cat food dish. And so I don't have any concerns about, raw food contamination. But, again, I don't have seniors and I don't have kids. But
sure.
I guess for all those years I took care of my elderly father, though, I did feed raw food. But, there was never an issue because he didn't mess with the cat food bowls.
Right. It's just something that you have to be aware of. It's not to say that you can't do it in those situations, but that you need to be smart. Trust me, a couple of years ago, I got a bacterial infection from food from a restaurant, had nothing to do with the pet, but not confined to that. And
yeah.
It was a miserable experience, and I wouldn't wish that on anybody.
Oh, I can only imagine. And you're a big, strapping, healthy guy.
Yeah, it knocked me for a loop.
Really? Now, is that you mentioned in the first hour we were talking about, is that the time you said that you sought help by going to a doctor?
Yeah. Initially, I was treating myself. It turned out I had a Campylobacter infection, which tends to be from chicken, undercooked chicken.
Yeah.
And, and I tell you, as soon as I got on some antibiotics, I only need to be on antibiotics for, I think, 3 days, was what the doctor prescribed. And it was great. And for the first 48 hours when I was sick, I never felt as bad as that night.
Wow.
So, it's the last thing I would want to wish on somebody.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, that just brought a question to my mind when you mentioned antibiotics, and I'm wondering, within the scope of Chinese medicine, do you prescribe antibiotics?
I don't, but a lot of times what I do is I integrate the Chinese herbs into patients that are on antibiotics or steroids or whatever, Western pharmaceuticals.
Uh-huh.
You know, I integrate the Chinese medicine into the patient and work with that. Because, you know, sometimes, and the most common thing, like an acute bacterial infection, I think is usually better handled by antibiotics, like with my personal infection.
Uh-huh.
What I tend to see are animals that come to me that have very chronic, you know, month-long, repeated infections going on in the ears or the bladder or whatever that just are not being fixed or, and handled well by conventional antibiotics. And so then we go with an herbal program, and they may still be on antibiotics when we start, and then we, you know, hopefully if things go the way they're supposed to, then we tend to phase out the antibiotics and then eventually phase out the herbs and get them, you know, probiotics in them and get their body rebalanced, that type of thing.
Yeah, and I forgot to mention when we were talking about, you know, the generalizations in an appropriate diet for dogs and cats. I forgot to mention that I recommend, I'm not, I think Mike, I think you mentioned it as well, but a good plant-based digestive enzyme is always a great idea to add, you know, to any processed foods. And even home cooking that you're feeding. I happen to really like the Optigest made by Enclover because it's got that FOS stuff in it. And I'll tell you what, it just really resolves intestinal upsets and sour stomachs and all that sort of stuff and helps them process and assimilate the ingredients better. But so you like that too?
I do, and I think that so many times, especially with our purebred animals, you know, maybe we haven't done them the biggest favor genetically sometimes, and some of them need a little bit of extra help because they are not born with this really vital energy. You know, sometimes the genetics just, you know, aren't great. You know, their constitution is weak, and they need a little help.
Yeah.
And, you know, and without it, they're not going to survive real well. So if you've got, you know, especially any animal that maybe has consistently loose stool or consistently sour stomach like you were talking about, that's a great place to start. But, you know, you don't necessarily have to go get a veterinarian. Just try that and see what happens. So many of our digestive intestinal issues, GI issues with our animals, you know, come down to the diet that we're feeding them. And if you get them on an appropriate diet and then add probiotic or add, you know, digestive enzyme, a ton of these things are going to clear up.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, too, it's important to say that the poorer quality food you feed folks, the more important it is to add in digestive enzymes. Because I know, Mike, when we were working with animals, it was back in the 80s, I think, and early 90s, and assuming that there were a lot of food allergies we were dealing with, but in the long run, we realized that it wasn't necessarily food allergies, but poor quality ingredients that the dogs, you know, couldn't digest and assimilate. So adding in those digestive enzymes made a big difference, or increasing the quality of the ingredients that you feed them in the first place.
No, that's absolutely true.
And I think now, and oh, I want to ask you this because this is popping into my mind too. For Marine and those older cats and the diet, I know a lot of senior diets really lower the amount of protein.
Right.
And I think you correct me if I'm wrong. I think that's because some of the older cats, their kidneys are going to be older and maybe not functioning as well. So you don't want as much protein going through, but I know certainly has come up from time to time over the years, especially with some of our holistic vets here on Animal World, have said that, you know, with the older cats, it isn't that they can't tolerate the protein, it's that the poor quality protein. So I remember a lot of our vets talking about when they're older, it's more important that the quality of the protein, if you're feeding protein, be really good. Is that true, Mike?
In my opinion, yes, and it is certainly controversial. If you look at the prescription diet for kidney failure, they are very low protein.
Right.
They are also very unappetizing. And,
yeah.
Getting past ethos is a chore. They're already not feeling really great from their kidney issues. And again, personally, I think there are some studies coming out that are starting to show this as well too. Is that the protein level in kidney failure is not necessarily going to affect the condition of the kidneys. And I have put past in dramatic kidney failure on basically all meat and fat diet, and as well as herbs to help with their kidney function, acupuncture, and they do exceptionally well. And part of the reason I think they do well is they're actually eating again. I mean, what is a better quality of life, you know, for an animal, you know, to have an appetite and eat and have energy, or to be miserable all the time and you know, they have an upset stomach? And I think that there's a trade-off. And I still think you can get those kidney values low eating that way if you take other appropriate steps like herbs or acupuncture, keep hydrated. I think you can do a darn good job without that very poor quality, low protein diet. So
when you're talking about these older patients that you've had that you said extreme, you know, kidney failure, but you put them on all meat and fat diet, did you say?
Yeah, a lot of times, yeah. You know, we just basically put them with it's mostly a meat diet. We don't necessarily add added fat. But
so what form of meat would you be feeding these cats?
It's usually going to be cooked. You know, so, I mean, you know, your basic is going to be, you know, either, a lot of times I'll use either, you know, fish or chicken with maybe a little bit of really long-term cooked vegetable matter in there as well, too. And you know, you're slow cooking the chicken. You know, you remove the skin, but you keep the bone in there, and then, of course, you're not going to add the cooked bone in the meal, but you get a lot of that marrow and fat into the meal that way. Again, it's just, you know, these animals, I wind up doing sort of individual diets with them really based on what they need. So I don't want to just, Rob, this is what you do with every cat.
Sure.
Because it's going to be different for each one. But in general, yeah, that works really, really well. And again, if you get a cat or a dog that's really debilitated, usually not the kidney patient, but say a cancer patient, you know, we may go to a gruel that's going to have a bunch of white rice, simple carbs with it. But for the kidneys and the cats, you know, they're not going to want to eat a bunch of white rice either, but they are going to usually want to eat a good meat diet, and you can really help them out with that.
And so we're basically talking good quality fresh meat, but cooked.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, human grade stuff. You know, you get it. And cats are also, you know, especially when you're talking about appetite. Now, it's one of the things where once you can get these animals eating regularly, then you can play with the diet and make it maybe a little bit more balanced and a little bit more perfect for them. But many times the key thing is to just get them feeling better. And, you know, you can really do that well. And with these guys, too, you know, getting the food to them warm is also really important. If they tend to get a better appetite when they can when you have warm food that's emanating a lot more aroma for cats. That's a big
Well, because isn't aroma really important to cats? And
yeah, absolutely. Huge for them. And so it's, you can do a lot for these guys. You just have to be smart about it.
Now, I would say when you're talking about, you know, serving food warm and so forth, the one thing, what's popping into my mind is remember that if it's too hot, if you're adding digestive enzymes, they'll be destroyed by too much heat.
Absolutely.
So you have to. So I think there's a fine line there in warm as opposed to hot.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the same thing with cold food. I mean, taking food out of the fridge and feeding it is not a good idea either. Because that coldness and that dampness, again, coming from the Chinese theory, winds up affecting the stomach in a negative way. And so ideal, might be, you know, room temperature. And then if you've got an animal that's not eating very well, maybe sort of lukewarm-y, to get some of that aroma going is a little bit better than even room temperature.
Well, okay, so you said taking food right out of the refrigerator and feeding it. Not such a good idea. Why don't you explain that cold and stomach and Chinese stuff? Because you dropped a few of those terms again that get us confused. Yeah, yeah. Scotty's in there going, no, don't get that one, Dr. Mike. Will you please explain?
Right. Yeah, okay, so we talked earlier about the whole idea of Chinese theory, and basically we're talking about a balance, and a balance between yin and yang, which is sort of the warm energy and the energy of movement and the cooling energy, the energy of nourishing. That's the yin energy. And so,
now, when you're talking yin and yang energy and balance, is it fair to exchange male female for yin yang to help people understand?
Isn't that kind of what it is?
Male female energy. Yeah.
Very very much so. We kind of think of yang as the male energy and yin as the female energy.
Okay, so maybe that helps some folks that weren't sure about that.
Right. And so what you wind up with in the digestive system, you have a yin and yang pair of organs. You have the spleen and you have the stomach. Now, a lot of people are thinking, well, the spleen doesn't do anything. We take the spleen out in the dog with angiosarcoma, and they live just fine with it. And that's true. Uh-huh. When we talk about this, the spleen, we're not just talking, in Chinese medicine, we're not just talking about that actual organ. We're talking more about the whole processes and the energetics that organ is said to have. So it would include things like the pancreas, it would include a lot of your digestive enzymes and the whole processes of digestion, not just the organ itself.
Okay.
So anyway, but what happens a lot of times is in order to digest properly, and again, that spleen energy is said to be responsible for transforming the energy in food into the energy of the body, into the qi energy of the body. So that's what we really think of in Western medicine as well, too, right? Is you have to be able to absorb, to extract calories from food,
uh-huh,
right, into your body. That's basically what the function of the spleen is in Chinese medicine. Well, the spleen and the stomach really don't like a whole lot of cold energy into the body.
Uh-huh.
So, here's a good example. If you were to take a big, huge glass of ice water, uh-huh, you know, and chug it down.
Yeah.
Your stomach is going to cramp up pretty violently, right?
And you might get that freezing headache sort of thing.
Right. Yeah. Well, the sort of constant cold ingestion of cold things is not real good.
Oh,
so
okay.
For digestion in Chinese medicine. So you don't want to, it's going to inhibit the digestive process if you're constantly eating cold food.
Okay. So room temperature, much better.
Yes.
Yep. All right. Excellent. And I just think we need a lot more explanation about all this Chinese medicine stuff. Fascinating that because we've mentioned already that within Chinese medicine that you don't prescribe antibiotics. That doesn't mean that the animals you work with may not be on them, but you tend to add the herbs in, as well as the acupuncture and chiropractic. But now, chiropractic, that's not considered a form of Chinese medicine, is it?
No. No, chiropractic is really something that was developed in America, back in the 1800s. So it's a fairly new therapy. Now, Chinese medicine does have a Tui Na, which is sort of a massage technique for moving energy and manipulating the body.
A massage technique, did you say?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes. So there is that manipulative therapy component to Chinese medicine, but I add chiropractic into my practice quite a bit.
Well, yeah, because chiropractic does things that I just can't imagine herbs and acupuncture doing. I mean, because you truly adjust the spine and the vertebrae, and sometimes, like, I can remember, Annie Golden when she was 12 weeks old and her hips were clicking and I brought her into you. I mean, her pelvis was tipped, and you had to straighten that back out. And I have, do acupuncture and needles don't actually create spinal manipulation, or do they, or does it?
No, the acupuncture is working more on the energetic and relieving blockages of energy and helping with inflammation. So that's what I kind of talk about when I'm working on spinal issues, is that the chiropractic is great for the mechanics of the body.
Mm-hmm.
And for also helping with pain, whereas the acupuncture and the herbs are for the energetics of the body.
Aha. Uh-huh. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Excellent. Now, it sounds like, and you're doing a lot of, aren't you doing a lot of chiropractic and acupuncture down there now with, in the practice you're establishing? I think you told me that you're doing a lot of competition dogs and agility and stuff. Is that really a big thing down there?
Yeah, it is. And it's a big thing up in Washington, too, and has always been a large part of my practice. And so, you know, we're talking about performance issues here. And I was just giving a talk down at UC Davis last weekend on performance and the different therapies and how you can incorporate them to help with performance.
Now, you're talking UC Davis. That's a veterinary school down there, huh?
Yeah, they had a holistic symposium that I spoke at last.
Really? Week. How? That's fabulous.
That was fun.
Yeah. But that's good. So, no, was it a holistic symposium? Was that for like veterinary students?
It was students, the public, and local vets. They were, I think, quite a bit of all in the mix, in the audience.
Wow, that's great. That's great. Yeah. Super. Well, yeah, continue.
So you know, I do see a lot of athletes as part of my practice, both down here as well as when I was practicing up in Washington. And it's great. It's a lot of fun. I like the sports medicine aspect of things a lot.
Wow. All right. Yeah, I you know what I've been so impressed with lately is the tremendous strides that have been made in the world of animal massage and manipulation. We've gotten to know, you know, Lola Michelin and the Northwest School of Animal Massage so well here, and Lola's become such a good friend, and we've done enough regular programming to find out, you know, how massage is really helping these animals. But then I met the massage gal that you have used up here, and I think she comes down to Sumner and works with your patients as well, and that would be, you know, Janet?
Oh, Janet Beebe, yeah, she's excellent.
Yeah, now I went because I'm working with a client up here who has a competition border collie that was actually a Pleckner dog and really messed up behaviorally, and we're getting him back in balance. But I needed to go with her to her massage appointment to make sure he didn't eat Janet. and it worked very well. But, oh, man, I was really impressed with her, Mike. I found out she is a graduate from the Northwest School of Animal Massage. But, boy, she just did some phenomenal things with him, and her ability to sense what was going on in his body and where he was tight and not and what needed to be done. I was really blown away. Now, is she just incredibly gifted, or is this what's really happening in the world of animal massage these days?
I think both. I mean, okay. Janet is particularly gifted, no question about it. But, you know, we're getting a lot more practitioners out there, and a lot of them are very, very skilled. And that's one of the things that I actually talked about in that Davis talk, was the fact that, you know, from a chiropractic standpoint, that's great. We're working on freeing up the range of motion of the joints of the spine or the limbs or, you know, the whole body. But if those joints are encased in really hard, spasmed, soft tissue, then you're only going to get so far with chiropractic. Uh-huh. You add massage therapy to that and free up the soft tissue surrounding it, and then, oh, now all of a sudden you've got worlds of difference. And I think that, you know, I speak with Janet, and we share a lot of patients, and, you know, I say I can only get so far if the muscle or the ligaments or tendons are holding the joint where I don't need them to be and restricting motion. And she can only get so far if the joints of the spine are not allowing the muscle tissue to be normal. So the two are so complementary, it's amazing.
Wow. All right. Okay, well, that's a good place to take a break here. We're going to take care of our advertisers and sponsors for this hour. Remember, without them, there's no us, so please pay attention and support them. We will then come back with current events, and that will take us through the end of this hour, Mike. Then we'll run our winter tip, cold weather tip, because the Farmer's Almanac says we could still have another hit, so we'll do that again. And then we'll be back with the last hour of Animal World and Vet Sunday with Dr. Mike Saluski. What I've got in mind, Mike, of course, we'll have open phone lines. And, oh, I want to congratulate this hour's winner, Food Pets Die For, and that would be Herbert. Congratulations, Herbert. We'll get that on the way to you. And then what I have in mind, Mike, is I think I'd love to do a Chinese Medicine 101 a little bit, but there's a couple of subjects that have been coming up regularly on the air, and that is vaccines and early spay and neutering, big controversial issues, and they're getting more so. And I'd really like to hear, you know, Mike's take and how those issues relate in Chinese medicine. So, Mike, you get a break for a while. We'll take care of advertisers and sponsors, do current events, and bring you back for the next hour.
Great.
All right, thanks for joining us. And any of you that want to check out Dr. Mike, www.hindsightcare.com. And he can be reached for appointments down in the Oregon area at 503-508-5738. Up here in Washington, every other Monday at Sumner Vet Hospital at